Welcome everyone to today's podcast episode. You're listening to the Home Design Podcast. My name is Adam Case, your host, and we aim to educate, inspire, and connect South Florida with the industry authorities within their trade. Today, we're going to be diving into the truth behind interior design, international influences, and the latest design trends that are available to homes today, all with Josiane Raphael of Eviton Interiors.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for being here today. I'm excited to dive into this. You know, I've been seeing your work. I mean, you've been doing work all around the world.
Yes, it's been going on for a while.
It's been going on for a while. I mean, you, not only are you an interior designer, but an architect, and you bring a different perspective to home design, home living. But before we dive into all of these extensive and difficult questions all day, but no, we're going to ask the hardest question to start. Who is Josiane Raphael?
So Josiane was born in Cameroon and studied architecture in Paris. But before that, I think that it started when I was 3 years old. My mom keeps telling me this story where she was changing her the bed sheets. And I took my box of crayon and then I started drawing on them because to me it was the biggest piece of paper that I've ever seen.
Right.
So of course I get spanked, but that's how I think this interest in maybe creating, I didn't even know, that's how we started. So it's always a very nice reminder. And I have also to say that I think it's a gift really that that God gave me. Because I've always been like that, just designing, drawing, and interest in, you know, in doing something that doesn't exist and bring it into existence. And that's how I landed starting architecture in Paris. And the year that I was graduating, we partnered with a school that was doing interior design.
Okay.
And I jumped into it too. So I did, you know, extensive studies as an architect and interior designer. That's how I started.
And just to clarify for, you know, people that are listening, you know, the difference between architecture and interior design, you know, obviously there's a lot of similarities, synergies, everything. But what would you say that difference, main differentiating factor is?
I think the main difference being an architect, we just pretty much build a house.
Right.
You know, structurally, architectural elements, everything. And interior designer, we make that house, we turn it into a home. That's really to me the difference, because we're going to get into your story, into who you are in textures and things like that. That's really where, you know, the difference is.
I love that, because what we say the home show is this is where your house becomes a home.
Exactly.
And it's true. I mean, that is, you know, everyone is focused on if they're building a house, remodeling a house, everything. But really the design component is what turns that house, which is a figure, into an individual's home. You know, so, you know, that is so special, and it's something that is so important for people to realize the difference just between a house and a home yes. as well. So, you know, so how long have you been in the industry?
So I've been doing this for, I would say, 34 years this year. And it's been really a tremendous blessing and joy, because you're able to come from something that doesn't exist, listening to people's story, listening to their vision,
right,
and turn it into something, you know, that you can see, you can touch, you can feel, and also make them happy when they go to their home. It's just, you know, a treat for me every day.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, you have all of this global knowledge, experience, you know, I mean, the fact that, you know, where you studied in Paris and everything and doing projects all over the world, you know, what does it mean to you as far as having all of that experience and how it really affects and how it, you know, changes your perspective for design and things like that? Because we hear it every day, you know, what we're seeing today here in the US, it's been happening for a while in Europe and other parts of the world.
Exactly. I think the Eviton Interiors right now, all the things that I've been witnessing to, seeing, my travels, even when I was a student, and then after working on those very high-end presidential palaces, you know, we travel a lot over Africa, in Paris, doing those huge, you know, mansions. You built a library of things,
right,
of shapes, of textures, of just like emotions. And that's what really, it's a plus for me, because that makes it my vision more global.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the possibilities, because exactly. I mean, having the opportunity to start with projects like that,
yes.
seeing, you know, how architecture and design is pushed to the max to really achieve, you know, these incredible, you know, structures, designs, everything that goes into these, I mean, palaces and mansions yes. all around.
It was interesting because it was a project where we had no budget per se. You know,
right.
we had budget, but it was really big budget.
Right.
And your creativity can really be just endless.
Right.
And that also is one thing. Another thing was when we do a big, big project like that, in order to present to the client, we had maybe a window of what? Of 2 hours.
Right.
To present 100,000 square foot, you know. Space. So it just helps you to narrow, you know, immediately based on what I'm hearing, this is what we can use. So you're basically kind of shutting down all the selections and you get to something essential. Right. And that really is a process.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be diving into budgets and things like that throughout this conversation. But I want to take just a quick step back mm-hmm. into Ebaton Interiors, like mm-hmm. the meaning of it. Because, you know, you have, you know, personal influence, inspiration, you have global, you have local, but all of the meanings and everything that goes into what you do and practice every single day.
Well, the name Ebaton stemmed from my grandmother.
Okay.
So my grandmother came to, I was still in living in France, and she had to go to surgery for a cataract. And I took her at the airport, and she was in her 90s, really,
oh, wow.
in the 90s. And I took care of it because she couldn't see when she came, you know, because both eyes were just needed surgery. So once we did the first eye, she would always thank me, you know, every day because I was taking care of her like my youngest kid, actually. And when she got the first eye, she kept just telling a word every time, every day. And I was at a point when I was starting Ebaton. And I'm like, something, there's a name that I'm hearing every day. And I asked my mom, how do you write this name? And she told me how to write it,
right.
But I knew the meaning. So she would bless me every day. It was like, okay, I bless you for the work that you're doing.
Right.
And we say in my native language, Ebaton. And that's how Ebaton, you know, the name came.
Amazing.
And up to today, it's like a blessing because, you know, we transform people's life,
right.
do things. And it's been a company where I really want to have, you know, the values, you know, integrity, loyalty, generosity, because... And just joy, because this is what it's all about, your home.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No, one, I love that because, you know, when there's meaning behind a name, behind a brand, behind the everyday, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that is important for the people who are also hiring you to understand yes. because, you know, that's like your mission statement. That's like yes. who you are, what you do, what you practice. And then with that being said, welcome to South Florida, where it's like the place of confusion of who to trust and things like that. So, I mean, it's so important because of your values and,
yes.
and what you do.
Yes.
So the fact that you have all of this experience, you know, obviously, you know, from, you know, Africa to Europe to New York to here in mm-hmm. South Florida. When you're working with these different clients and the perspective of seeing so much mm-hmm. and being able to blend these different design styles and bring something to homes that they might not even be envisioning or even know exists, mm-hmm. What is like your process, you know, as far as how you can take all of these experiences and bring it to somebody? Because a lot of people, they probably, you know, they have an idea and they might show you pictures, mm-hmm. but you bring it, you essentially bring it home.
Yes. I think that's why the tagline of Ebaton Interiors is expect the unexpected.
Right.
So we're going to listen to you. And while I'm listening to you, I'm just kind of pretty much envisioning already what to do.
Right.
So my step is going to have to be now to bring you back in where I'm already. And that's the fun part.
Right.
Really. And I think that's why client also, because you bring something new, let's say, I don't know, it can be a wallpaper, it can be a tile, it can be a pattern, something different that is going to pretty make difference. That's what we do.
And that's the job of an interior designer
yes.
because, you know, you don't hire an interior designer just to do what you want. You know, the whole point is to bring it further.
Well, I think that's why I like to listen, because the job of interior designer is definitely more than just, you know, picking drapes and do this. is really to put things together. And as an architect too, I'm able to scale things.
Right.
So I can tell the client, maybe they have a vision of doing something this, and I'm gonna say, well, I don't think with the space that you have is gonna happen, right. But we can do this way, we can do that way. And that is really, really helpful.
And that's so important, because having that architectural background, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of people that dream up things of what they assume, and especially here and really everywhere when it comes to, there could be property lines, there's mm-hmm. height restriction, there's mm-hmm. all different factors that goes into what is possible within, you know, a lot, or what's existing, or
exactly.
is it worth it to add on to the home, or is it more cost effective just exactly. to tear it down?
Yes.
You know, so that perspective, I mm-hmm. think is really important for
exactly clients. Because there's so many things involved. Let's say you just do a kitchen renovation, you're changing things, but you're gonna have to involve electrical, you're gonna have to involve plumbing, you're gonna have to go. So is it worth changing the sink from this place to this one? Why don't we keep it here? So that way it has to do also with the cost and budget, but it gives me a sense of understanding the scope,
right.
You know, more globally than just, you know, okay, interior designer, we want this, we want to do that. There's so many elements involved.
So, you know, talking about, like, for example, someone might be thinking about just remodeling their kitchen or mm-hmm. their bathrooms mm-hmm. or whatever. Obviously, we all know how that goes. Usually the scope of work starts to grow once you start opening walls and doing things. But what would be your answer to why hire an interior designer?
I think hiring an interior designer is a plus, because we are expert, you know, right. in that regard. And we are able to guide you. To tell you what works, what won't work. We are able to really be with you during the entire process, because it's really a process from yeah. the first conversation to the end, and also manage a lot of things that are behind the scenes that you may not even be aware of. You know, from, let's say, ordering furniture, and then something, we have to inspect the furniture.
Right.
Is it right? Is something, and we have to do all those stuff. And mainly, I think, to capture the essence, you know, of your vision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, with all of the, I mean, you work with materials every single day.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if someone's hiring, say, just a contractor to mm-hmm. remodel their kitchen, they're essentially going to do more or less what they're asking for,
mm-hmm.
where you might know better solutions because you've seen and you worked with so many different things, you know, so, there's so many important things, and I think there's a negative connotation as for or misunderstanding to most of the market as far as why hire designers.
Yes, unfortunately, because I think, you know, I mean, in France, for example, what I studied, I cannot, my being called an interior designer, I had to go to those, you know, 5 years.
Right, absolutely.
Otherwise, I can't be called even like that. So I feel like there's a lot of people may have a sense, you know, of style and aesthetic and things like that.
Right.
And they can definitely be helpful. But when you hire us, we are really going to make sure that things are also made to code.
Right.
That they make, you know, the specs are, you know, met. And also the way that the things are done, the tile in the bathroom cannot only be installed in the drywall.
Right.
You have to do different things. So that's why pretty much need our help. You know?
And also not for people to be confused. I mean, there, you know, there's a client for everyone, but the difference between an interior decorator and a designer, there is a differentiating factor. How do we differentiate that?
Well, that is going to be based on your credentials.
Right.
So if you ask, you can ask the interior designer, what did she study, graduate, does she have her credentials? That's how you're going to make the difference.
Right.
To me, I feel like at the stage, at the point where I am, I've seen a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And sometimes it's just like, you know, I feel like I'm called like the doctor after death, because there's already a mess. And
right.
then they call, okay, Josiane, can you try to help us this? And then unfortunately, it's going to cost you more because
right.
you have to redo everything. But, you know, I think the homeowner has to really dig and ask the right questions.
And starting correctly from the start, because, you know, it is more challenging where, well, there could have been a lot that could have prevented a situation
yes.
if you were working with the right person.
Yes, that's really a key.
So talking about hiring,
yes.
you know, what does that even look like? Like, what should people, what questions should people ask, or what should they know when they're going into that hiring process? Because essentially they're going to start interviewing
mm-hmm.
businesses and designers, or, you know, to potentially step into their home, essentially be a part of their family for mm-hmm. a period of time mm-hmm. and yes. have a successful project.
So there's two ways. The first route is referrals.
Right.
So at Iberton, we have a lot of referrals. So we did it. We designed something for a client. Then they refer their friends and, you know, relatives and things like that. So that's usually you have seen already the work.
Right.
So you know what we're capable of. The classic traditional way is to do your own work, really. It's really about doing your own work and narrow down who you feel match, you know, with what you have in mind. Right. Vision-wise, style-wise, and also budget-wise, because right. it matters. And call, ask questions, and then are you charging for the consultation? What is involved in your fees? What is the process? So all those type of questions. And how long have you been there? Can you send us, referrals?
Right.
And then we can call those people and see, you know, what they did. That would be, for me, the traditional way to do this.
Absolutely, because, you know, the thing is, you know, it's okay to ask
yes.
the structure, the pay mm-hmm. structure, because, you know, there are a lot of yes. situations where people just don't know and then they get into the project and they're mm-hmm. not sure. But, you know, is there like a standard accepted pay structure when working with a designer?
I'm not going to speak for everyone because I feel like to me at this stage in my career after 34 years, I'm at a point where I don't take on certain project,
right?
Because I have to just have a certain budget,
right?
Not because I am undermining, you know, the small project, because I still do small projects, you know, for a client that did something, and then they have the kids who are doing this. I'm gonna take that on, but the amount of hours that is put together when we do a presentation,
right.
that can last maybe 3 hours presentation or 2 hours. But behind the scene, we've been working probably like, I don't know, 40, 50 hours on this.
Absolutely.
And that's where people need to understand the value of this. And also respect, you know, the expertise of, you know, whoever you're working with. If I'm an entry level intro designer, yeah, my fee are not gonna be the same as, you right. know, what I'm doing now. So this is where, it's really personal.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you're right, because experience, that's what people pay for.
Yes.
You know, experience, the amount of projects, the type of projects. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it all balances out, because inexperience can bring other challenges.
Yes.
And the experience can speed up the process.
Exactly.
Can get to the right solutions.
Yes.
So talking about, you mentioned, you know, obviously being selective also with mm-hmm. clients. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. So there's designers, interior designers, that are listening to this as far as, you know, what should I look for red flags? You know, because I'm sure you have those experiences as well. Like, oh, if I knew about this before, what this homeowner, how they acted or what their expectations were or demand of your time. I'm getting calls probably at strange hours or whatever it might be. There's also respect there. What can you say to the designer as far as every single project is not necessarily for you?
Yes, I think to me, the red flag is usually because I listen a lot.
Right.
You know, I listen. The first time I meet even was.
So everybody listen. Good. Listen here.
Yes, I'm listening to everything. And I'm going to ask a few questions. And I'm also going to ask the key question. What is your budget?
Right.
What you don't want to go over. And if you tell me, well, I don't know really, because I don't get a sense, you're not telling me the truth.
Right.
Because everybody does his homework. You know, when you go and buy a house, or even you want to buy, I mean, we ladies, we shop.
Right.
So it's going to be like, okay, I want to just, you know, treat myself. You're going to put a limit on what you're doing.
Right.
So to me, I'm all a little bit, I have to understand. So what I will do when I go back to the office, we will send you our terms of service.
Right.
Everything is really clearly described. If you are okay with the way that we work, then we can work together.
Right.
But if there's like 2, 3, 4 points you're going to come back before we even start anything, to me that's a big, big red flag.
Right.
And also wanted me to design or to give you a concept without even put something like a retainer that can just cover, you know, our time that we just put the mood board together. To me, it's a red flag.
Right.
So things like that. But, you know, and thank God I didn't have a lot of those.
Yeah, that's good. Well, because you listen well.
Yes.
And you know, like, because there's like you mentioned, there's always red flags.
Yes.
You know, but going through all of these processes, hiring designers, you know, we've already learned the benefit of you and the experience mm-hmm. and what you've done. Mm-hmm. But are there other specific benefits as far as what somebody would achieve by hiring you and your team?
Yes, I think because we also have a vision on the long term. You know, you may be ready this season to just, you know what I have in mind, because you haven't, you're just doing, you know, the kitchen. But then as your family is going to grow, you may think, you know, about maybe expanding that family room and things like that. So what I will do is that we talk about it, we can do the project knowing that it's going to be phased out, phase two, phase three, even if in a year or something. It just is the process. Instead of doing something and then, oh, no, now we want to do this. And then you have to tear down what we did
here. What you already did.
No.
Yeah, because it's that's so important because there are a lot of people where they, after a project, they're like, you know, I wish I did it this way rather than just saying, OK, I want to do this area first mm-hmm. and then go here. But when you talk to a designer and you know, such as yourself, they're like, well, if you want to do that, we advise you to do this first.
Exactly.
You know,
we can anticipate things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, and that's why being open, honest and on. Just having the conversation.
Yeah, and really, communication is really key. Communication, right. Trust. Trust is really key because I understand that some clients, you know, when I go in someone's house, I see it finish. I don't even know how to explain it. I see it finish.
What it could be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then, you know, just have to trust me.
And talking to that point, is there something that you see in homes where stands out to you that for, you know, a normal individual just that is a homeowner and they have their dreams, but when you see something that it just triggers inspiration or something like that, is there a part of a home that you really love to design around?
I think it's, like I said, your home is a storyteller.
Right.
So you have specific connection with some part of the house because maybe this is where is your place. You have you have kids and this is my little retreat.
Right.
So I will probably get inspired, but I don't know if I have a specific one because to me, everything is linked to your emotion or story or what you want to see at that time. So I don't really have a specific one, but I love to do laundry. You know, laundry rooms?
Okay, yeah.
Because laundry is so boring.
I can't let my wife hear you.
Well, she's going to hear me. Right. So it's so boring that you want to make that spot very funky.
Right. Absolutely.
And I love to do that.
That's amazing because we are seeing more and more of these, you know, laundry spaces really be an incredible place. Yeah. And I've even seen laundry rooms with like pet washes and like showers and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can have something really cool and that makes you want to go back and enjoy. I mean, not want to go back, but at least enjoy the time while you've been there.
Without a doubt.
Exactly.
So talking about that and we've been talking about, you know, all of these budgets and things like that. When you walk into a space and somebody who thinks their budget is a number, but knowing the reality, because there's plenty of homeowners that don't know the reality of, they might be just accounting for, okay, cabinets are going to cost X amount, you know, the countertop and lighting. And, you know, there's so many different elements that get into all parts of the home, whether we're talking about a living area or we're talking about a kitchen or bathroom or entry, foyer area, whatever it might be. You know, once you get that budget, do you just immediately just try to reverse engineer to fit that budget? Or is it more so having the real conversation of, you know, if you're looking to achieve what I think you want, realistically, this is what you should be looking at?
Well, yes, definitely. We have this conversation because, like you said, some don't really have a sense because it may be their first time doing that.
Right.
So I will guide them and say, and then there's a thumb of rule too. If you, let's say you have, your house, the cost, whatever you're going to be spending is also linked in the value of, you know, so if you're building a house and let's say the house is $1.5 million, you have to expect to spend at least $150,000 in all those interior design, furniture, and things like that.
Right.
That's kind of a term of rule. But now, if we're doing renovation.
Is that like based on a general percentage?
Yeah, general percentage.
Okay.
But then, so if you're buying a house that's $3 million and then you want to do some interior design work and then you said, I just want to spend $100,000, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Right.
I'm just going to be really honest, because not only the space, the square footage and all that stuff is impossible.
Right.
But also, if you have a set budget, I can tell you that with that set budget, this is what we can do.
Right.
Based on what you think and what I presented to you. But now if you go with an entire scope, it's going to probably add up, and then let me know what right. you want to do. I do that because I don't want, you know, people need to be comfortable, you know, when they have a budget, if that's all they can do right now, let's make it happen.
Right.
But without compromising, because I don't want to compromise and say, okay, because the budget is a little bit lower, and then I'm going to compromise on the aesthetic, on the vibe. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an important piece because, you know, it's not just having the experience, architecturally speaking, mm-hmm. or interior design speaking, mm-hmm. But it's also understanding the real estate perspective, mm-hmm. because there is also, like, you know, a home is also a business, mm-hmm. Making sure that whatever the budget also fits mm-hmm. the value of the home, mm-hmm. And how that increase or whatever's applied to the home and how it can increase the value mm-hmm. of the home.
Of course.
So, you know, so there's a lot of those decisions as well.
Yes, like bathroom, kitchens, or the space where definitely you can really increase the value. And then now in South Florida, you're outside because outdoor is really an extension of your house now. So those are the space where you really, really have to think through it, because people spend so much time, you know, right. Outside, and they want to, you know, have as comfortable as inside.
Especially post-COVID.
Yes.
I mean, it changed. Yes. It changed everything because, you know, honestly, when you look at things, and we're very fortunate living here in South Florida, mm-hmm. because you can't necessarily do this everywhere. But like one of the best areas to add livable square footage exactly. is outside without yes. having to make an addition.
Exactly. That's really something that I really enjoy doing. And also we bring in the textures, you know, the outdoor texture now is softer, right. boucle, and it's just really interesting.
And what's amazing, like even for the interiors, you know, biophilic design and bringing in the greenery and the natural yes. aesthetics and things like that, it's mm-hmm. it's incredible. I mean, you're bringing the outdoors in.
Exactly. Yep.
And you get a different feeling with that as well. You know, talking about all of these different, you know, from budgets and design aesthetics mm-hmm. and things like that, would you say that there is any specific design decisions that is truly most impactful to changing, you know, the feel of a home or the aesthetic?
I think the architectural elements are, to me, something that can change the feel of the house.
And when you say architectural elements, what are you referring to?
So I'm referring, for example, moldings. Do you have, like, because some house can be very dated because there's a lot of, you know, gold and things like that called crown molding, and a lot of plaster, a lot of brown, a lot of, you know, Venetian plaster, like, you right. know, the way they did it 20 years ago. So just tackling those elements, removing, toning down, and things immediately change already the look, the vibe of your house. That's something that, to me, that's what I'm, you know, referring to architectural elements.
And when you're talking about these elements, I mean, this brings me into one of those areas that people love looking up and they want to really understand further, trends. You know, some people yes. love talking about trends. Trends are made. Trends are really a marketing play to, yes. I guess, like, you know, but what's your opinion on design trends?
So I don't really follow design trends when it comes to, let's say, colors and things like that. I follow the trends in what is new in the industry, material-wise, you know, sustainable things that, you know, that are coming out, which is what we need, you know, for our planet. It's really more focused on the materials okay. aspect. Now, of course, you know, there was a trend where gray was very gray. So I'm not a gray person.
Right.
So I always, if you are more on the modern aspect of it, I can warm it up with textures and things right. like that. But I'm not really, I won't say I'm like a trend. I just go by what your story is and
right.
what you don't like, because some people don't like colors, some people like colors. And I'm going to incorporate that, you know, in the vision.
Are there any new products or materials that you're seeing being introduced to the market that are just like, you know, that have caught your eye and that you really enjoy working with today?
So I usually go to, you know, those trade shows. I do a lot in Europe.
Okay.
The last one in Maison Gabger. So it was a lot of textures. You know, you have a lot of on the wall, like wall coverings.
Okay.
Suede.
Yeah,
we go on the absolutely. Wall coverings. We have, of course, the paneling, the wood paneling, but now we just rounded them instead of just being straight ones. colors in terms of those wood paneling too. Lightings are also key. And in terms of fabric, is really the one that are performance, but soft.
Right.
This is really where, this is the things that I've seen lately.
I'm not sure of the actual material, but I've been seeing it over and over. It's like a very, very soft, high performance fabric. It kind of has I don't know, for lack of a better term, like a fluffy texture to it, in a way.
Yes, like a boucle.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I can see I'm not a designer, but
that's the boucle. Yeah.
Okay.
And wallpaper is really in.
Absolutely. I mean, wall coverings are transformative. Yes. I mean, it changes a space.
Yes.
And it's something that, I mean, who knew that, you know, wallpaper would come back as big as it has?
It is really, really big.
Yeah.
Now, and all textures.
What do you see for the future? Would you say that there's any areas that there's like a built up anticipation of other types of materials in other parts of the home that you see as possible future trends?
I think what I see is more into the style.
Okay.
And the future trends, like more eclectic.
Okay.
You know, because we, you know, after during the pandemic, we always, you know, glued into TV. We had to do something.
Right.
So we traveled. So I see that trend where you sew something, you want to bring it in your house, and just material or the textures, like a glass, you know, that's stained glass is really also back in, or like the dining table with this lacquered, and then we have a glass on top. So it's more like an eclectic style, and also vintagey things, you know, are back to just put like some accessories. That's what I see in terms of the trend, in terms of style. Product-wise, not really, but because there's always something new. But it's really the style.
And it's how you use it.
Yes.
You know, because and also, like, you know, when you're working with these budgets and homeowners and things like that, when people look at trends, mm-hmm. you know, of you know, how things are applied or designed, as a designer, you will probably look at them and say, well, you know, that is a popular style now, but are you going to like that in 2 years, in 5 years? Because when you're making these types of investments, you want to be able to live in the space and enjoy it for longer than the next, you know, short-sighted period of time.
That's why the balance has to be done. You can do something like that in your study where you can really go wild, because the trend is like the mono color everywhere, which is super cool because it gives you something warm, more intimate. Right. But when it comes to your living room, like to the formal one, you want something that is going to, you know, timeless.
Right.
I would say timeless if I had to put a word. Family room, you can be more, of course, just, you know, if you have kids and, you know, you want to make sure that someone comes, it doesn't drop wine on your sofa, it's not going to be ruined, so performancey. So you can be a little bit neutral. Bring some accent, you know, during the season. If it's a holiday, you can bring some red or blue, whatever you want to do. And have fun in powder rooms, because this is where, you know, you don't stay there for a long time.
Right.
So you can do something super cool, because to me, I always call the powder room the business card of your home.
That's a great way to put it.
Yes.
I like that.
Because the powder room basically should reflect everything from your house.
Yeah, that's like your elevator pitch.
Exactly. You know, so it's, you can, like, do something funky.
I color, like that.
Texture, wallpaper. So I really like doing powder room for that reason.
And as you're speaking, like, it just brings perspective to me, because a lot of people, when they're designing a home, they feel like every space has to be similar. Mm-mm. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that, because as you said, every space is also its own story.
Exactly.
And incorporating, you know, life experiences, if they're traveling, where they're from, mm-hmm. what they enjoy, you know, being able to implement that into design. It doesn't have to be like an obvious, oh, this is from there, mm-hmm. but it's pulling out that inspiration.
Yep. That's what I feel like the next trend is, really, like, eclectic, really, to me, where you can bring all those elements.
Absolutely. So when thinking about interior design, there's a lot of great designers out there. Exclusion or approachability is mm-hmm. something that we, as the Home Design and Remodeling Show, and all of our efforts and educating and bringing the best professionals to the market and really just bring this information. What would you say to somebody that they don't know better? And we've already kind of mm-hmm. touched on it, but as far as the approachability perspective mm-hmm. to interior designers, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that, you know, you only, like, if you have a certain dollar value of home that a designer is for you, or if you don't have that, a designer is not for you. Like, what can you say to that as far as making interior designers more approachable in the sense of the value for all homeowners?
I think people should not be, should just be truth to themselves. To me, that's really key. You have a certain dollar amount that you want to spend, and don't be afraid, because there's, you know, room for everybody.
Right.
I know that I'm trying to be more selective just for the sake of just, you know, productivity and things like that. But I still take on, you know, project where there's a connection.
Right.
To me. So I don't feel there should be hesitant of on reaching out. They should. And what's the worst? They're going to say maybe no.
Right.
But exactly. At least try. Because I've got some calls like that. And at the end, it was like, oh my God, I never imagined that you would, you know, take on this project. I did, because there was something that I can relate to. And I said, you know what? I really, I'm going to make, you know, this work for you, even though we don't really take, you know, right now at this time, this type of project. And it turned out to be something very amazing. You know, you just make people happy. And this is what, you know, to me, I feel it is. So people should not be feeling comfortable, but they should just know that you're also saving, you know, your money when you hire someone who knows, you know, what it's all about.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%. That's like the common theme, like experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it saves money, and it brings a whole different level of everything you're looking to achieve.
Because it can only be maybe just changing the walls, because some people, we don't have to do the entire remodeling, but just adding colors or changing the entire vibe. If you have already existing floors, we can do something that you can just reuse those, maybe just restaining them. So there's so many things that can be done within that type of budget.
Absolutely. Would you say that there's like a hierarchy as far as where budget should be allocated?
Yes, I would say that. I think to me, there are some priorities in you know, in the design thing. So if you are thinking about, homeowner, want to do, okay, I want to redo my kitchen, and then I want to do this family room, and then I want to do this one. So what are you thinking about staying in this house forever? That's the first question.
Right.
If you're thinking about selling it maybe in the next 4 or 5 years, let's start with the kitchen.
Okay. Absolutely.
Then we're going to go into the other room. If you feel like, okay, I'm just going to be here for a while, so where do you spend more time? Why is the reason why you're doing this? Then we can prioritize, you know, the spaces. But it's key. If you're thinking about selling the house in the future, there's some area that you definitely need to start with.
And because you'll get that immediate return.
And the other one, we can just do cosmetic, design. It can be a paneling on the wall, giving that character or accent wall, things like that.
Absolutely. Because, you know, and to your point that you already brought up is the fact that a great way to bring in, you know, different elements is through the furnishings, through accents, through things like that. But, you know, when somebody, obviously there's people listening to this and be like, you know what, how do I contact Josie Ann and have her design my home, to get them familiar with what your process looks like? What does your design process look like?
So design process is first a call. Okay. It can be a call, or you can just, we set up an appointment. And we're going to listen to everything that you have to say. Then after we listen to that, then we're going to send you a proposal where we said, okay, after listening to everything, we're going to do like a mood board that pretty much summarizes our entire conversation. And that mood board is just one page. And of course, there's like a consultation fee. We just show that to you, like via Zoom or in person. And if you're okay with that, then we send you pretty much like, you know, term of agreements and, you know, what the process will be and the budget and how it goes. And we start pulling everything together, floor plan. If you don't have existing floor plans, we're going to draw them. We do all the mood boards, the textures, and then we're going to, you know, you're going to meet with us. We have those amazing acrylic trays where it's just per room or per space, and everything is organized, and you can see immediately, you can picture yourself in the space. That's really what we do. And then when we're okay with that, then if it's about ordering material, we do that, or for furniture, we order furniture. While we are tackling maybe kitchen renovation or the floor and things like that, those things are being made. And we just, you know, update you, and we follow up closely, and voila.
Sounds like an experience.
Voila. Yes.
Quite the journey. Yeah, and throughout your journey of all of your experiences, you have your own collection.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So
how did it start?
So it's Maison et Botan, which is Maison, which is in French, say house.
Okay.
But I'm just putting in the front of Ibotan. So it's like a house of Ibotan, a home of Ibotan. So it started with when I started working on those projects in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I designed a lot of embassies. So embassies, you know, when you go into embassy, you're already in a foreign country.
Right.
So what do you see, what do you want to see without even traveling to the country?
Right.
So I had to incorporate the culture in rugs, in fabrics, in on the floor. And it was so very interesting. And before that, if I go back, I designed a dinnerware line.
Okay.
That was sold in all Neiman Marcus stores.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And just bringing in that element of culture that you travel, you saw something, but bringing it in more like modern settings, like right. Those place settings were done in Limoges, in France. So you can, it was really interesting to do that. So after doing that with the embassies, I said, you know what? I'm just going to start doing this because I have drawings back, I don't know how many years. I have those little books. I always have notepads. I note everything. I draw, I sketch everywhere. And I decided to launch the line last year because I was always looking for example, leather. I like to do collages,
okay.
Meaning you have a different texture in the back and another texture in the front. So every time that I wanted to do that, it was only solid leathers. I'm like, why don't you have printed leather? Where can I see that? So I said, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. So I started doing my printed leather line and just been amazing since then. And I'm doing the leather line. I'm going to introduce the wallpaper because the vignette
absolutely. At
the show is going to get our...
And this will be your wallpaper?
Yes, it's going to be my that's wallpaper. Exciting. And we're going to extend that to the fabrics and tiles.
Amazing.
I'm stacking tiles now too.
Amazing.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I mean, because tile is like art. Like, it, you know,
it's art.
And art is a, you know, part of the story. It's a yes. great way to, in colors and shapes and everything, it helps tell that story.
Exactly.
So you mentioned the show.
Yes.
What we can expect to see.
Well, you can expect the unexpected.
Let's start. When you, obviously, we had a conversation.
Yes.
And we were honored to, you know, have you as a part of this upcoming show in Palm Beach. When you sat down to think about it, where did your inspiration come from?
It really comes from my travels. And
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to explain a little further. So the designer show house. So you're used to designing for people, for yes. their homes. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity to step outside the box and yes. design for what you can do.
Yes.
So sorry.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You're totally right. Because you have to go. When I go to people's home, I listen to their story and then I just implement it in design. But this time I feel like I want to be able to, they're going to see me.
Right.
It's really me with a lot of the capabilities, travels that I, you know, did, that kind of expect and expected, which is really our tagline. Yes, I think it's going to be super interesting.
Is there any little pieces that you could show us? Like, is it going to be a modern twist to it? Is it going to be timeless? Is it going to be color? Any colors? Any teasers?
I would say the teaser is going to be Hermes.
Okay. I like
it. It's Hermes.
Note that. So, you know, obviously, you know, you've done a lot of projects. You know, we've talked about, you know, everything from palaces to embassies to all types of homes. Is there any one project in particular that stands out that is your favorite? And that could be for a lot of different reasons. It could have been the most challenging that you overcame obstacles. It could be incorporating the most intricate or different materials, whatever that might be to you.
So that question is really hard because it's like asking me which one is your favorite kid. I can, you know, so I think everyone is really, I would say, my favorite. But there's a few projects where definitely there was a challenge. Like it was very traditional, heavy. And I'm like, I don't even know if I can do this one because it was so far from my design aesthetic.
Right.
But I took it as a challenge. And it turned out to be, we are finishing, we're on the finishing step on that one. Very interesting.
Oh, so this is current?
Yes, that one is current. So it's going to be done by probably in the next month or so. And there's another one that I did a year and a half ago, and it's in Utah.
Okay.
So that one, I'm not a snow person at all. But it was really interesting to bring it, you know, it's really one of the one that I really was excited about.
Right.
So we're going to, installation is happening in June because it's the same thing, they're finishing the construction. But I was able to do a lot of things like the building, those cabinets, the bathrooms and designs. So that would be another one. And if I have to go back to a long time ago, yes, it was really when I designed those state homes.
Okay.
Because it was a lot of history.
Absolutely.
A lot of history.
And it's also preserving the integrity of that history.
And it's still, you know, even when I see again some of the pictures, I was given the opportunity 2 years ago to go back, and it's really mind-blowing to see that. And it also brings me back to when I started, you know, my work as an architect, because at that time when I was working for that firm, we graduate from architecture, and the first assignment they gave me was to do color rendering.
Okay.
And I'm like, really? I've done all this cool, I'm going to do color right. rendering? But for 18 months, I was really in depth of those visuals. I would do everything by hand. We didn't have the software
right.
like we have now. But it told me so many things. You know, the nuances, the level, the things. And I, as of today, I even frame some of them just as a reminder of how patient you need to be.
Right.
It's a process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And patience is key, which comes with listening.
Yes.
Would you say that there's a transformational point of your career where like a light bulb went off, or something that is like a most memorable moment in your career where things just, you know, changed in any way to bring you to who you are and what you're doing today?
I think it's more personal in the sense that I had a lot of health challenges, and to see how far, you know, and what I've been able to achieve, you know, to me is, every day is like, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Puts everything in perspective.
Yes.
You know, so we've talked a lot about a lot of different areas today. Is there anything that we left out that you want to touch on before we go?
I just want to say that I'm really excited to be able to showcase, you know, this vignette with, you know, the Palm Beach Home Show, because, you know, we are in the times of global. You know, everything is global.
Right.
And I can even see that, you know, even with the exhibitors that, you know, are going to be participating, that everything, people are, you know, bringing material from all over the world, all over the place. And to me, I think it's a good way. What you're doing is amazing, because people don't even have a clue
right.
of, you know, what is out there. And being able to have that in one spot, and then adding on top of that, like, you know, a section where you can have, you know, into designers expressing, you know, themselves and what creativity means to them and what can also mean to those people, it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. So that's really, you know, thank you again for this opportunity. And I cannot wait really to start putting everything together. And it's going to be super fun.
Absolutely. No, and I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, what we see our purpose as is bringing approachability to South Florida home design, home living, showing people the possibilities, showing them what they won't see if, you know, because a lot of people tend to rush the process also. Mm-hmm. They're not going to take the time and drive from showroom to showroom to showroom. It's a lot of time.
Yeah, it is.
And being able to go to a destination, to be able to talk with professionals
exactly.
who do this every day, to see materials, to see how it's put together. And, you know, really discover before you just become a lead of a company trying to sell them.
Exactly.
So, you know, we kind of, you know, approachability is what I really love to discuss and bring awareness to, because the show is for everyone.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if it's a first time home or if it's someone's fifth home or if it's their vacation, whatever it might be, the show is for everyone. And having individuals like yourself is really what makes it special.
Well, I'm really, really humbled, honored, and thank you so much for all the support. And it's really exciting. I'm really, really excited. I cannot wait.
Absolutely.
For everyone to see what Ebotan Interiors will have to showcase, a few collection of, you know, Maison Ebotan. We're launching a few things. and overall really to for people to be able to dream and know that everything is possible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well said. And thank you so much for being here today. For our listeners, if they want to reach out to you and contact you, what's the best way?
So the best way is definitely we can go to Instagram. We have Ibotan Interiors, and then our website too, ibotan.com. You can definitely, you know, send us a message. We have a little thing where you can say what you want to do. And of course, you know, we're just going to be on the show for those days. And just don't hesitate, ask questions. And the last thing is that we are also organizing a raffle.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
And what can they win?
Aha.
So is that a secret for now?
No. Ibotan Interiors, they can win a free interior design consultation.
Okay.
Then they can also win a hide, a rug. They can also win a very interesting French art. It's an artist.
Okay.
That they can win a piece of that. They can. There are some other stuff that can win, but yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Amazing. Yes. I can't wait to see it. You know, thank you so much for being here. For everybody listening and wondering when the Palm Beach Home Designer Remodeling Show is, it will be May 24th to the 27th. Get your tickets today at homeshows.com. This show is going to be spectacular. This is exactly where home design, home living all comes together in one location, and of course can obviously meet you and your team. But for all of you listening, thank you so much. We are Florida's premier destination for everything home design and home improvement. Visit all of our home design and remodeling shows in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, as well as Palm Beach. Again, our website, you can get all the information at homeshows.com. Follow us at FL Home Shows. Subscribe to our channel. Get all of the latest in home design and home improvement. But until next time, stay tuned for the next episode.
Yay!